You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I've got on the line Labour Party leader Andrew Little. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Pearl. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Awesome. So you've said this week that you wouldn't go to Waitangi again if the media wasn't present. Why is that?
I think the reason why I get, and no doubt others get invited to go up there to go to the Lower Marae, Te Tihi Marae, the day before Waitangi Day, is because of the office we hold. It's a public office. I think New Zealanders are entitled to see us as we discharge our public office duties. That said, also, the issues that are usually discussed and debated at Te Tihi do have a, they are topical issues, they are issues of national significance, and I think all New Zealanders are entitled to see how that's conducted, what is said, particularly in their name. So I just think the idea of a media ban or a blackout or charging $10,000 for media representatives to be there is wrong, and I don't support it. But I took the opportunity this year, having been invited to go up there and being allowed to speak, amongst other things, to tell them that and to make it clear that if that sort of thing happened next year, then I wouldn't speak on Te Tihi Marae.
I mean, some people have said, isn't it more important that politicians are there to sort of do their civic duty, pay their respect, rather than having the media there to capture their presence? What do you say to those criticisms?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of way we go, a lot of things we do that pays our respects, that's part of the celebration of the treaty. But there's a reason why we get asked to go up there. It's not, not every New Zealander is asked, is invited by those in charge of Te Tihi to come up there and be porphyried on and to speak. We get that because of the positions that we occupy. They are public positions, and I've got to make sure that what I do in public is available and scrutinised and accessible by the media. That's the way that other New Zealanders get to see what I do, and one of the ways I'm held to account. So it's not about going up there and sort of privately paying respect. I do that in a lot of other ways and a lot of other things and a lot of other times for private matters, and particularly for things that I go not in my capacity as leader of the opposition or leader of the Labour Party, but my private capacity. When I'm somewhere because I'm leader of the opposition or party, I'm acting in a public way and I need to be public about it.
Interesting. So just going on to the recent sort of changes to the way medicinal cannabis-based products are prescribed, do you think that Peter Dunn's decision is a step in the right direction?
Yes, it is a step in the right direction. It'll go somewhere. I mean, it hands it over to officials, and it should never. I've never quite understood why a minister is needed to sign off on prescription of a cannabis product in an individual case. It's not a political decision. It's a a medical one. So that now gets handed over to officials, and they should set very clear criteria and I think a low threshold. The real gap now is, of course, that cannabis products are not funded or subsidised by Pharmac. So to really make cannabis products accessible to people who need it for pain relief or other therapeutic purposes, actually those products are going to have to be partially or wholly funded by Pharmac, and that is not the case at the moment.
Would making cannabis-based medicinal medicines easier to access by, for example, funding them, be a priority for Labor?
Yeah, we said we will do very early on. We will, if we have to legislate for it, we will make access to cannabis products for medicinal and therapeutic use available. We're going to have to work out also what the financial implications are for putting a reasonable subsidy on those for farming. But, my view is that Pharmac funding has been constrained for some time. It's part of the $1.7 billion effective health cuts that happened under this government for the last 6 years. We do have to increase that funding, and as we increase that funding, then we'll ensure that Pharmac has the funds available to provide cannabis products for medicinal use at a reasonable cost to users.
Just keeping on the topic of medicinal cannabis products, the Greens are also pro-raw cannabis being able to be used, opposed to only cannabis-based products. What's Labor's stance on raw cannabis in relation to medical usage?
Yeah, again, I'm happy to look more closely at that. At the moment, our policy kind of focuses on, and the draft bill that Damien O'Connor has in the MP's members' ballot at the moment, it just focuses on cannabis products, cannabis-related products. it makes, you know, there's a logic to saying, well, if you're going to have cannabis products, then what about just, you know, raw cannabis, you know, however used for it. Again, that would still have to be under kind of medical supervision and specialist supervision. But I'd need to know from, you know, the scientists and the medical profession whether that is a basis on which that they would prescribe access to cannabis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.